Good evening, folks. It's Chris Daly, a blogger at Jamaicans.com. It's my privilege to have great conversations with Jamaicans or those of Jamaican ancestry that are making a positive difference in this world. This evening, it's my distinct privilege to be talking with Christina Lloyd. She happens to be my first daughter. Christina graduated from the Andrews University in 2004 with a bachelor's degree in technology and digital multimedia and a minor in communication. Since then, her work has taken her to Maranatha Volunteers International. It's an independent missionary group affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and this has taken her all over the world to produce content for their weekly television show, Maranatha Missionary Stories. She has the pleasure to work alongside with her husband, Tom, who works as a photographer for Maranatha also. After spending almost 3 years based in India, she and her husband moved back to the United States, and they continue to work out of the Maranatha headquarters in Roseville, California. She loves to travel and to see lives transformed by service. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Great. No, you're my daughter, but I'd just like to see what you think of your Jamaican roots. Tell folks a little about what Jamaica means to you.
I would have to say most, I think of my Jamaican roots through food.
Okay.
I think of a lot of things in life through food, and though I've only been able to visit Jamaica once, I've enjoyed a lot of Jamaican food throughout my life. So when I think of my Jamaican heritage, a lot of it is related to a lot of the food, whether it be jerk chicken or festival, but that's how I think of my Jamaican roots.
Okay. Well, keep it real. You said our audience consists of surprisingly a lot of high school and college kids, and they're always curious about our guest career path. If you could give us a summary of your journey from high school to becoming this world traveler where you've combined your skills of being a high-tech person with that of high touch and seeking to touch others' lives.
Well, I've always been interested in computers, but I wanted to do something a little bit more creative, a little bit past the ones and zeros. So while I was in high school, there was a college fair at my high school, and I was introduced to the field of digital multimedia and the degree at Andrews University. So I decided that that was the path that I wanted to take. So I attended Andrews, and while there, I was also introduced to communications. And I felt like to make my education very well-rounded, it was important for me not to just learn the technical side of things, but to also learn about communications. Because I feel like sometimes the two don't always get married enough. You end up with technical people that don't know how to communicate messages, and you end up with people that know all the communication theories but don't have any practical knowledge and experience in working with technology. So I decided to marry the two and did a degree in digital multimedia and a minor in communications. And my degree was very broad, but while I was studying, I developed a love of video production and decided that that's where I wanted to focus my attention. So that's how I ended up in the video production field. And then later on, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, got an opportunity to travel to India. He graduated with a photography degree, and they were needing, Maranatha Volunteers International was needing a photographer to cover some of the things they were doing in that part of the world. So he got an opportunity to go there and do an internship, and I followed him soon after because they needed somebody to help with their video production. And it turned out, you know, we were supposed to go for 3 months and ended up living there for 3 years and getting married. And the rest is sort of history. We moved back to the States, and now we work out of their headquarters in Sacramento and then travel to different places all over the world as need be. But that's sort of a short summary of how I ended up where I am.
Wonderful. You can't tell where your career paths will take you this day. One of the critical elements to be able to serve like you do is to be able to have a certain cultural fluency, to be able to know and feel adaptable to other cultures. How did you learn to become effective in doing this part of your work?
Well, I think a lot of it was trial and error. I think part of it, though, was in college I took a class in intercultural communications, and it was just part of my classwork. I didn't specifically search it out, but it was taught by a teacher that was Indian, and I think that really came in handy. I had no idea that later, years later, that I would be living in India, and a lot of the things that I learned in that class about intercultural communications came in handy. But I think the biggest part of it is just learning to be flexible, and that's something that I've just learned in traveling. Things don't always go the way you need them to go. You plan and plan and plan, but when you hit the ground, you have to be very flexible and adaptable and be willing to change your plan and to think quickly on your feet to make decisions. And that's the way that works best. You can go in with a plan and try to beat your plan into the local culture, but a lot of times it's better to, you sit, you have a cup of tea, you listen for a while, and then you figure out your game plan from there, as opposed to coming in with a Western mindset. So I think a lot of it is just adaptability and listening skills, I think, will get you very far.
Pretty insightful. For the second time in recent years, you spent Christmas in what we'd call in a non-traditional manner. Please share what you've been doing since 2007 at Christmas time.
Well, the organization that I work with, Maranatha Volunteers International, is all about building urgently needed buildings, but also building people. So we use volunteers to build churches, schools, clinics all over the world. And every year we provide volunteer opportunities for people all over the world throughout the year. But every year we have a special project that we call the Christmas Family Project. It's a project that's centered around Christmas time, and it's specifically geared for families that want to serve together. And I think it provides an opportunity to step away from the materialistic Christmas that you might find at home, and instead of focusing on Santa and your Christmas list and what you're going to give and what you're going to get, it enables you to go and be a Christmas present yourself to somebody else. So we this Christmas spent in the time in Ecuador building classrooms on a school. 2 years ago, we went to the exact same spot and built a school for a group. And now, because of the new school building, it has brought interest to the school, and their enrollment is expanding, and they're needing more classrooms. So we went back, and we built two more classrooms so that they can expand, have a computer lab, a library, and have a little bit more space. But I think for the families that go, it's just a really good way to show that, hey, let's do something different for Christmas. Let's get back to the real meaning of Christmas, the fact that Christ gave his life for us, and in turn, let's give of our time for others.
That's wonderful. So how many people went on this trip this past Christmas?
We had just over 60 volunteers on this trip, and they're all families. Families of different type. You have single people. You have grandparents that come with their grandkids. You have families with kids and teenagers. So it's a really good mix of people. It's not an exclusive thing where you only have teenagers, you only have older people. It's a wide variety of people from different parts of the world. We have people from Australia, from Canada, from the United States, from all sorts of backgrounds that come together and try to accomplish the common goal.
Great. So how do the folks in Ecuador respond to this Christmas gift?
I think a lot of times when you go on a trip like this, the local people in the country where you visit are often surprised that you would take time out of your schedule to travel all of this way. A lot of times it's the first time that they've seen people from America, and so it's surprising to them to see that, hey, you would take time to come down here and build something for them or to paint something for them. And I think it inspires them to do outreach in their own community. They look at it and say, hey, if these people can come all the way from across the world to come and do this, I can do something for my community as well. So it's generally very well received.
That's great. I know you're not standing still because you have more frequent flyer miles than most road warriors that I know of.
Yes.
Please share with us where you'll be involved with in the near future.
Our next project, spring is a very busy time for us. That's a lot of times where people have time to travel, and so we're out covering all of those things. And our next project is in a couple of weeks. We're headed to Zambia with 170 other volunteers that will be doing a variety of things. The main thing that we're going to be doing is building two school campuses outside of Livingston, Zambia. Livingston is a very, very big tourist area. Victoria Falls is there. A lot of tourists travel to Livingston every single year. There's also a very large community of Seventh-day Adventists centered in that city and in Zambia. Zambia is the largest, has the largest group of Seventh-day Adventists in the world. So we are going to be there building two school campuses. There's a great need for Christian education there. Schools often run 6 or 7 days a week. So if you're a Seventh-day Adventist and you have children, your children either miss school or they are forced to go to school on Saturday with the Sabbath. So what we are doing is we're building two school campuses that will house a total of 550 students, and we will also be building some church structures around that area for congregations that need it. We always have, most of the time, we have medical clinics that will happen as well. We have medical professionals that will come and conduct clinics and do health education to train people. And we also do outreach programs for children. So that's what we're going to be doing in a couple weeks. It's a really exciting project, and it's in a beautiful area of the world. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. So what's the greatest joy from you get from your work? What makes it so fulfilling for you?
I think for me it's really important to be passionate about what you're working on. For me, I never wanted to go into anything commercial. I wanted to be able to work towards something I really believed in. So I think the greatest joy is to go and to see people's lives being changed, not only the people that are benefiting from the work that we're doing, but the people that go and volunteer and see how it expands your world. Traveling around the world will expand your way of thinking, and it makes you think about the things that you complain about at home. But it's neat to see people transformed through service. So I think that's one of the greatest joys that I get from my job.
It may sound glamorous with all this travel, but it also has its challenges. Could you share with us what's your greatest challenge?
I think for me, I have what I like to call adult onset ADD, and it's hard to, there's so much out there. There are so many things that need to be done, but to really be effective, you need to be focused, and you can go and you can get overwhelmed by there's all of the suffering and there's all of these things that need to happen in the world. And it's hard to focus and say, okay, this is the little corner that I can take care of. This is the little thing that I can do to make the world a better place. So I think one of the challenges is not getting overwhelmed and being focused and doing what you can do and not just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, hey, I can't fix everything, so I'm not going to fix anything. So I think that's definitely a challenge.
Okay. As we know, when you turn on CNN, you may not see Maranatha International flashing up every day. How can people find out a little more about your organization?
The best way to find out more about Maranatha is via our website. We have a website. It's maranatha.org. That's MARANATHA.org. And on there, you can find anything that you need to know about the organization. You can look at upcoming projects. If you'd like to join us on a project, all of our upcoming projects are listed there. And we also have a weekly television show called Maranatha Mission Stories. You can view that on our website, or it also airs on this network, on Three Angels Broadcasting Network, or on DirecTV on the Hope Channel. We also have a variety of ways that you can view. You can view the shows right on our website or via YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/missionstories, all of our stories are up there. And we also have a podcast. If you go to the iTunes store and just search for Maranatha, you'll find us there, and you can download stories about what's going on around the world. So that's sort of the best way to get to know what's going on and to also get involved.
Incredible. Do you have any parting gems for our audience?
I'd just like to say, get involved. There's so much going on out there, and I think once you go on a trip and you volunteer your time and you meet the people, you can't stop. It's a very addictive process. So once you go, you'll want to go again and again and again, and it'll become a part of your life. So I just want to encourage people, take that first step, whether it's something that's happening right here in the United States or it's something that's happening in Africa, get addicted.
Christina, thank you for sharing so much of your wisdom. I'm very proud of you, and best of luck for continuing to invest your life in the service of others.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.